Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. We are going to begin today the 14th parak of Sefer Shoftim, the life and times of Shimshon HaGibor. Before we get there, I just wanted to share with you something pretty amazing, and that is from a Mar Malkum that Honey shared with me. We're looking into Shimshon's name and what the Shimshon name represents. So there is a famous company that pride themselves on their strong quality of products. And therefore, they named their product after Shimshon. Does anyone know what product we are talking about?
Luggage. Samsonite luggage.
Is that Nathan?
Samsonite luggage.
Nathan, you are correct. Fascinating. Samsonite luggage was created by a Jew. He might even be a frum Jew. Jesse Schwader, of Polish-Jewish descent. This is from their website. He worked for a trunk company in the early 1900s. Okay, this is Noah. She doesn't have school today. He created a product, which was a luggage that was high-end quality, was very expensive on purpose. People knew what the quality they were getting. And he wanted to show people that his company, that the product he was making was very, very strong. It would last a long time. Therefore, he called the company, initially it was called Samson. Just Samson. It was called this luggage they created. It was called the Samson. And then eventually they changed it to Samsonite.
Yeah.
Eventually they changed it to Samsonite. Okay. That is a fascinating tidbit for today. I thought that was fascinating. Okay. Let's go. Vayered Shimshon Timnasa. Shimshon's born, right? We learned Mazel Tov. Shimshon was born in last week's parsha at the end of this whole discussion. The Malach leaves, baby's born, and he has this Ruach Hashem. We'll see that the Ruach Hashem that Shimshon has is not a frequent Ruach Hashem. It comes in and out. And his sole goal and sole purpose of having the Ruach Hashem, becoming this person of strength and being a Nazir in the way that he is to destroy the Plishtim and get rid of the Plishtim from their land. Vayered Shimshon Timnasa. So Shimshon goes down to Timna. Vayar Isha B'Timnasa Mibnos Plishtim. And he sees a woman amongst the non-Jewish women of the Plishtim, Vayal Vayaged La'aviv Limo, he goes back home and he tells his parents, Vayomer, Isha Ra'isi B'Timnasa, I saw a woman in Timna from the Benos Plishtim.
I don't know how I got it, but
Ve'ata Kechu Osa Li L'Isha, I want to marry her. Right? So he sees Pasuk 1 is he sees a woman, presumably is very attractive to him. Second Pasuk, he goes tells his parents, and he says, Mami Naba, I want to marry this woman. What's the problem with this? What's the problem with this?
Rabbi.
Yes.
The guy's a Nazir, and this is the first thing that you hear that he wants to do. He said he was just born.
Well, he grew up. Those
but the first thing that you're telling right. us about him is that he happens to be a Nazir. He has a cloud of Hashem around him, and this is what he wants to do, marry someone. He wants to marry a Shiksa.
He wants to marry a Shiksa. This is every parent's nightmare. I'll be honest, right? This is every parent's nightmare, especially parents that had a Nevuah. They had a prophecy that he was going to be the savior of the Jewish people. A Malach came to them and said, you are going to save them. And they had to protect him. Imagine when a parent, when the child has an allergy in school. So the parents have to be very protective of that child. You know, some of these peanut allergies, they can be very, very dangerous. Now, he had a spiritual allergy to any grape derivatives, to Tumah, so maybe some school trips to the Museum of Natural History. He couldn't go on those, right? They were taking care of him and coddling him and protecting him. because of who he was going to be in the future. Now, it sounds like the second he leaves his house, he sees a non-Jewish woman and he wants to marry her. Vayomer lo aviv imo, tell me if this would be your reaction. Ha'ein bibnos achicha uvechol ami isha. Are there no attractive women in the Jewish people that you can marry? You're taking a woman from the Plishtim? From the Plishtim Ha'arelim. The Plishtim are generally called by a very derogatory term. They're called Arelim, uncircumcised. That always, when it comes later on with David and Shlomo and Shaul attacking the Plishtim, they're always referred to as the Arelim, the uncircumcised. And that was a very derogatory term. That they, obviously, if you're not Jewish, you're not necessarily circumcised. But that was very derogatory about the Plishtim. Vayomer Shimshon El Aviv, Osa Kachli, Kihi Yashra Be'enai. He doesn't even set me up on a few dates. I'll consider it. No.
We know
I want to marry her because she is the one that pleases me. Yes, Jules, what's your question?
Do we know how old he was?
Marriageable age. I can't say what that is. It's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly. Again, marriageable age today is different than 100 years ago and definitely different than several thousand years ago.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
So as a Nazir, you client is the answer that he's giving doesn't befit him because a Nazir is restraining himself, taking himself out of this world from certain pleasures, and yet this is what he wants. And he says it.
Right.
He's adamant about it.
Right. We're being mostive on the questions, right? This is good. It's not only this, that it's just a regular guy that he took care of, but the job of a Nazir is to restrain himself from Tanuge Olam Hazeh, from anything in this world. That's what a Nazir does. They remove themselves from this Olam a little bit, and that's not what he is doing here. He's doing the opposite. He's engaging more in this world. So ultimately, what happens? Now listen to the last pasuk. Vavivimo in this section, Pasuk Dalet. Vavivimo lo yad'u. His parents didn't know. Ki me Hashem he. They didn't realize that this was from Hashem. Now, what was from Hashem? Was it a test from Hashem? What was from Hashem? Ki to'einahu mevakesh miplishtim. He was seeking a pretext against the Plishtim. Uba'esahi, at this moment, the Plishtim were ruling over the Jewish people. Now, so what does that mean? Ki to'ena hu mevakesh. All of the Mefarshim really translated simply, just translate the words, that he was looking for a pretext to attack the Plishtim. So now, still, what does that mean over here? What does that mean? So let's begin unpacking this episode, right? Let's begin unpacking what exactly is going on here and see what the Mefarshim say. So first, let's begin by quoting the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch, a pasuk that we recite three times a day, uses Shimshon as a paradigm of what not to do. There is a mitzvah from the Torah, lo taseh from the Torah, to not look at certain inappropriate things. Shelo natur achar machshavas aleiv v'riyas einayim. Lo sasu acharei levavchem v'acharei einayim. Asher atem zunim achareichem. That there is a mitzvah, lo taseh, to not look at inappropriate things. And if something becomes inappropriate to you, meaning in this case, someone, the woman became attractive to him, then the halacha would be to not look. And one needs to avert their eyes of certain things. And he quotes Shimshon as saying, this is right, that acharei enechem refers to znus, the promiscuity, to these licentious, prohibited relationships. Vayomer Shimshon el aviv osakachli ki hi yashra be'enai. So obviously it's not what he did, but we can learn from here. This is the halacha for all of us. When you see people who walk down the block, agree with them, don't agree with them, they take off their glasses. Why would they take off their glasses when they're walking down? So they're taking them off because they want to be very careful about the halacha of histaklos. They want to be careful about this. It comes directly from a pasuk that we say three times a day. Well, the more so it goes to the pop-ups, the blocks, the add-ins, everything that comes up on our computer, even when we're looking at very pure and kosher things, things do pop up on the side of our computer. And we have to be very, very careful about all of that. Obviously for our children, but also for us. Be very, very careful about all of this. Now, what was Shimshon doing? What was his goal? So Rav Dessler writes the following. I have it here in English. This is from Rav Shaviv, I believe, from the Gush. He writes, Rav Dessler states that Shimshon's involvement with three women, we'll see ultimately, was part of his strategy to extract vengeance on the Plishtim. According to Rav Dessler, Shimshon knew that his impulses were pure. Therefore, his interest in foreign women must have had divine sanction. His only flaw was a touch of arrogance about his own purity. We'll see that he's not so in tune with his desires. So Rav Dessler writes that everything that Shimshon was doing was completely, purely motivated. And this was a strategy from God, ki to'einahu mevakesh, to get the Plishtim under his wing, and therefore to easily infiltrate and attack the Plishtim. The Radak on the other side says, explains that God wanted someone unassociated with the people of Israel to punish the Plishtim. So the Radak, need some background music from time to time, you know? The Radak explains that God wanted someone unassociated with the people of Israel to punish the Plishtim, so they would not act with vengeance towards Israel. Now, this is very interesting. What the Radak is saying is that Hashem, in a certain way, wanted him to marry out. Why? Because he knew that Shimshon had the power and the ability to destroy the Plishtim. The Plishtim would then go ahead and attack the Jewish people. They would take revenge against the attacks on them. But if the Plishtim can, if the Jewish people can claim, this guy is not one of ours, look at him, look who he married, look what he's involved in, then we cannot take, you know, responsibility for Shimshon. And therefore that leaves the Plishtim's hands are tied and they can't attack back. So Radak is sort of similar to Rav Dessler. Again, they come many, many generations. This was many generations later. But Radak is saying that Shimshon's interested in these women for their beauty. But the problem was that Radak says that Shimshon got too involved with these women. He got too involved with them.
By Markowitz?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we make it on a simple level and saying, yes, the man lost his sense of right living, and he went after the chicks. And at the end, he saw that he was being double-crossed by the Plishtim. That's when he finally got woke up and said, okay, now I'm going to go after them. And he killed 3,000. But he really didn't do away with the Plishtim. They were still there. It was only
the reason why we don't do that is because the reason we're not doing that is because the pasuk is, we have a challenge. The pasuk says, I don't have it. The pasuk says, "Ki me Hashem he." Now, what from Hashem? So that's our trouble. you know, if we just had the psukim on our own, then great. But the pasuk says that this came from Hashem. So what came from Hashem that permitted him to seemingly marry a non-Jewish woman or non-Jewish women in plural? What is that? So Rav Aaron Cutler here says something a little bit different. It's a very nice approach. He says that, what is the language of Shimshon? Because Shimshon writes that I want to marry her. Why? Sorry, what's the pasuk? Ki yashra be'inai. Because she is good in my eyes. See, the problem with Shimshon was that he shouldn't have said ki yashra be'inai. He should have told his parents, this is part of the divine plan. Right? This is part of the divine plan. By saying ki yashra be'inai, you see that Chazal are going to say that it was his eyes deceived him. And he got too involved personally with everything that was going on. And he was not doing this lishma. And what's fascinating about this is that ultimately, what happens at the end of Shimshon's life? He was blinded. The Plishtim blinded him. As if to show that was the punishment for Shimshon getting deceived by his eyes. So the Gemara here says the following. It's the
Mida Keneged Mida.
Mida Keneged Mida. Very good. Yeah. Tana Rabbanan. Shimshon Be'enav Maridim. Shimshon rebelled with his eyes. Shneamar. Vayomer Shimshon El Aviv. Osa Kachli Ki Yashra Be'enai. Lefichach nakru plishtim es enav. Mida keneged mida. It's the Gemara. It's quoted from Aaron Cutler. It's really it's explicit in the Gemara.
Rabbi.
Shemar v'yachazu. 1 second, Nathan. V'yachazuhu plishtim v'inakru es enav. Go ahead, Nathan.
Are you saying that Hashem permitted this, but Shimshon's problem was he enjoyed it?
Well, I didn't use that language. He enjoyed it. There was something wrong. It could be enjoyed, but it could be something else. We have to explore that further in the story of Shimshon to understand what exactly was it that Shimshon failed in. You know, if he's following God, then what did he fail in?
Right.
What was it exactly? I'm not sure yet. It could be he enjoyed it, or it could be something else. So the Gemara says, "Ini v'achsiv avi v'imu lo yadu ki Hashem hi." So the Gemara says, "How can you say that he did something so bad? It came from Hashem." This is the Gemara, right? Ki azal miha basar yashrusa azil. Although I'm just reading English, God did plan the punishment of the Plishtim. In any event, when he went, he followed his inclination and didn't act for the sake of heaven. So, even though God permitted him to go, when he was involved, he wasn't doing it for the right reasons. And that's where, even before the plan began, we see the wheels falling off of this plan. Or not the wheels yet, maybe just some screws and nails, slowly falling off the hinges to prevent something.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
How do we contrast this relationship to someone like Shlomo HaMelech, who we know married many, many women, and he did that, and I'm assuming many non-Jewish women, and he did it for different reasons, but how do we contrast the two of them?
So actually, that leads us perfectly into, right, Rabbi, you would say we didn't rehearse, so this leads us perfectly into the Rambam and Isuri Be'er Perek Yud Gimel. The Rambam compares Shimshon and Shlomo. I just learned the prakim of Shlomo HaMelech's life with my daughter. It was very hard to learn with her. It's on one hand, you go Dovid and Batsheva, it was also challenging in a certain way, but to learn the story of Shlomo just explicitly with no like context, just marrying non-Jewish women, it's a bit challenging. So the Rambam writes here, Al ya'ale al datcha Shem Shimshon HaMoshiach Es Yisrael. The way that the Rambam describes Shimshon is that he is the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. He's the savior of the Jewish people. O Shlomo Melch Yisrael. Shenegri Yedir Hashem. Shlomo was called in the Navi as Yedir Hashem, the friend of God. Nasu Nashen Nachrias Bigei Yusam. Don't think that Shimshon or Shlomo married non-Jewish women. Ela sof devar kachu. Shemitzvah hanachona kishiyavo hager ogiyoras liskayer. Both kinacharav shemit glam mamon shiitol bishvil shtrara shiyiskela obli apachad bal likonisadas. When part of the gayrus process, in order to determine whether someone can become a convert, is to find out if there are other ulterior motives. They're dating somebody, they want to be rich, and they heard the Jewish people are wealthy people. Who knows? Something not related to Torah and mitzvos, not related to pure motivations. In Ishu, Bodkin Acharav, Shama Eidav Nasim B'Isha Yehudis. If it's a man trying to convert, maybe he's interested in a nice Jewish woman. In Ishahi. And again, this is a very challenging issue. And the rabbis are very careful about this specific issue when it comes to someone's dating somebody, and etc. Im lo nimsa lahem ila, modian osa kovet ola Torah. If we don't find any pretext, we then explain to them the severity of the Torah and the weight of the Torah. The Torah sheish basiyasa, how hard it is, and we're very dramatic about it. In kiblu lo pirshu, if we see that they go ahead, then we accept them completely. Lefichach lo kiblu beis in geirim kolim mi David Shlomo. In the times of David and Shlomo HaMelech, the beis did not accept any geirim. Why? Because the Jewish people were the wealthiest and most powerful people in the entire world. And we were concerned that people were doing it just to get on the, front runners, to get on the side of the Jewish people. May David, because of the fear, because David was just winning every war. May Shlomo, Shema Bishvil HaMalchus, because of the Malchus, the prestige and the aura and the wealth that came along with that. Shekol HaChozer Min HaAkum Bishvil Davar Mehavli Olam Einu Megeri Tzedek. And they wouldn't be considered Geirei Tzedek. He continues on. Dafapichain, how you Geirim Harbe, he's going to be in David and Shlomo, the Adiodos. But he says that in times of David and Shlomo, even though the regular base, the significant base, but they did not allow them, there were these smaller, but they didn't, that were before simpler people that did permit Jews, people to convert to Judaism. So the Beis Din HaGadol, again, we have a continuous conversion controversy between Israel and the exile. It's very complicated. Thank God, over the past bunch of years, we've seen things get much better, much more sensitivity towards the Geirim and their process, and also just much more communication between the Batei Din, between America and Eretz Yisrael. However, you see here that this issue, this controversy that comes up now, was a controversy back then too. Even though the major Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael said no conversions at all, there were people that still converted. So what did the Beis Din HaGadol do then? They didn't push the people away. They waited to see how they would act. They waited to see. If they saw that many years later they still were acting nobly and were keeping Torah mitzvahs, then they were Jewish. Lafisha gear shlomo nashim unesa'an v'chim shimshim gear v'nasa. So Shlomo converted the women that he married, and Shimshon converted the women that he married, and then they married them. Below LP based in Gairum. Please know that they converted them, and they weren't they wasn't on this base. He was on one of these rogue Batei Din. That's why when the Torah refers to them, the Torah still refers to them as plishtim. So you see here that they converted them, but it wasn't the best conversion. It wasn't an ideal conversion. So there was a conversion of these women, and it was one of these conversions that we said we needed to wait to see whether this is the right thing. Okay, so that is what was some of the background to these psukim about Shimshon and his motivations, what he was doing. Something here was from God and what was going on. The Navi continues, Vayered Shimshon v'aviv imotim nasa. So Shimshon went with his mom and dad. Right, Mr. and Mrs. Manoach to Timnasa. Vayavo ad Karmei Timnasa. Vine kefir arayot shoeg ligraso. Who came out? Who came out? Sorry. Who came out to greet him? A full-grown lion. A full-grown lion came out to greet him. Now, the titzlach alav ruach Hashem. So a lion didn't come out to greet him. That is euphemistic. That the lion came to attack them. So here you see for the first time Shimshon's tremendous power. That we all have heard of. But Titzlach ala Ruach Hashem, a Ruach Hashem came over him. Vayishaseyu kishisa hagedi. And he tore apart this lion like a person rips apart a baby goat. Uma imbiado velo hagedi hagid la aviv ulimo isa sherasa. So he did this almost naturally, and he didn't tell his parents what he did. Right? He purposefully did not tell his parents about this. Right? He kept this to himself. So why did he not tell his parents? It must have been that they were a little further away. That's what the Mefarshim say. Otherwise, obviously, they would be there. So you see here for the first time Shlomo's tremendous power and his strength that is unbelievable, right? And we'll have to, you know, later understand where this comes from. Why is it that he's automatically a Nazir and he has this brute strength that nobody else has? We'll have to really understand where this comes from. We're going to stop here for today, and we will, as Hashem, pick up with why the strength, where Shimshon gets that strength from, and then learn more about this woman that he is interested in. He's not involved with her yet. He's interested in, as Hashem, will discuss that next week. Please, God. Everyone have a great week. Yep.